In the history of bad ideas, this is a humdinger.
Beavers and ducks.
Welcome, everybody, to a very special edition of Sports Londorian. I'm your host, Carlos Molina, here with Cliff Dangerfenning, publisher and president of OregonSports.com. Welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while, buddy.
Been a little while, yeah.
And also here with Derek, the homer with the head on his shoulders, Weber, host and creator of Portland Men on Sports, which you can catch on your local public access whenever you get a chance.
Yes, please.
The tap. Yeah. We're a Blitz of the Pearl.
Where they have beer.
PBR and cans and a taproom ale on tap.
Everything we said to her is a fact.
That is true. What I was going to say, the reason this is a very special episode.
Unlike every other episode
that I've said it's a very special episode. So this is my last episode as host. I'm possibly, almost definitely handing the reins off to once and future host, Derek the Homer with the head on his shoulders, whoever.
Oh, wow. This is news to me. I gotta go.
The
pressure is mounting.
And me too. I'm kind of like the producer, so I gotta like make sure we got the staff.
You expressed interest in future hosting.
I could do like an hour just by myself. What do you think? Yes.
The homer with two heads on his shoulders. Anyway, last show for me.
Till
we figure out the phone thing stuff. What about ESPN?
Get the big call up from ESPN.
Yeah, that's what it is. The Capital City Goofball's tired.
ESPN movies. starting a new.
ESPN the Ocho, actually. They found a little room for me.
That's it.
But no, we got a lot of football to talk today. And a little tennis. And there will not be an hour with Los anywhere, I hope. But let's start with the Ducks. The only local team that really matters. There's a little pot shot at Oregon State. Sorry, guys.
It was funny. If you would have said before that game Oregon State scored 10, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, let's do Ducks, because the Oregon State game is a far more interesting game. D'Anthony Thomas opened up the game, or opened up his first touch of the game, another touchdown, bumping his touchdowns per touches average to like one every 5 points something.
It's getting like a negative number, actually.
Yeah. finished with two touchdowns on 13 touches, which is lame.
Not bad for other people.
Terrible game.
Guys like Kenyon
Barner.
Worst game
all year. Yeah, the guy needs 34 touches to score 3 times.
Jeez. Averages don't add up. Fresno State, I can't really say they kept it close. Game got ugly.
Game got very ugly in the second half.
And not in the chippy sort of entertaining ugly way, like three fumbles by the Ducks and Fresno State.
And off those three fumbles, they only got like 13 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad game. As far as a normal Duck game, you usually have that pace going kind of thing. And listen, it was not only the turnovers, there's penalties at inopportune times. It didn't seem like, from an offense standpoint, either team was really kind of clean. So
in the second half, anyway.
In the second half, yeah. The first half, one of the teams will win.
In the first half, it was kind of like, are they going to score 70? Because they're halfway there. And why should I keep watching this game? So, but isn't there like women's lacrosse on or something like that?
Usually on the Pac-12 channel.
No, that's
the other game.
All right. The other game. Yet again, is there anything we can take away from a big blowout, essentially preseason win for the Ducks?
I mean, there was more struggles in this from that turnover perspective. So I think from that standpoint, with Marcus being just beyond ridiculous his first game, kind of brought him back down to earth. And it might have been good for them as far as, it's not going to be that easy. We can't beat ourselves kind of thing. Not that that game was ever in doubt, but you can't play that way against better teams. That's one thing. The other thing is the injuries that happened throughout that game. That would be, I guess,
couple of key injuries,
One is John Boya actually wasn't injured during that game. I'm not sure when he was injured, but he's done for the Ducks ever now. And then Carson York re-injured the same leg or knee that he blew up in the Rose Bowl, and he's done forever now as well. So kind of two key injuries there. And then there was a couple other ones that don't seem to be that serious. Josh Huff got hurt again, but he says he was back out there today at practice and that kind of stuff. We'll see. But obviously two senior elder statesmen on the team and very good players.
Cliff, we haven't had you on in a while. What was your take on Mariota winning the starting position, A? And B, how do you think he's done his first two games as a starter?
You know, just fine. He's it's not like they have stress for Mesh to win. So, he seems like he's doing fine. So they
played the guy in the first quarter.
Would have been, as far as they Chip Kelly seems to know who he wants to be quarterback. So, he's done a pretty good job of picking the right guy, or a guy who does what we all expect him to do. So,
or exceeds expectations.
Or exceeds expectations. And if something happens to him, they got a pretty good backup. So I can see if he struggles at all, we got the next guy, and we got Bruce Bennett coming back. But, Saturday's game, I think that, like you said, it probably did him some good to have a little bit of struggle in the second half. And even though they struggled a little bit, got it kind of jabbed here and there. At least they didn't lose, and they didn't win. They didn't win ugly either. I mean, it was an ugly win, but it was a comfortable win. So it's not. I was thinking Arkansas dropped out, Wisconsin dropped out. You can't, you can't win the national championship in a game like that, but you can surely lose it. So that didn't happen. So they got a few games here where they shouldn't struggle very much here for a little while. So, that was a good game for them. People got to look really good and put some Heisman Trophy video up. So that's what you want out of a game like that. Get some video, get some attention, and then they won.
DeAnthony well on his way.
To collecting the video that he needs to collect to
getting invited to New York.
You've got to be able to have those little video segments, otherwise nobody cares.
Derek, what'd you say? Is it number three in the Heisman rankings?
From CNN SI.
CNN. Okay, behind?
Matt Barkley, number one. And Geno Smith, number two.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Monty Ball has slid down the track.
Geno Smith. No one named Geno is ever going to win the Heisman, so he's out right
he's
away.
My pick?
He's out right away. Monte, wow, did he get his ass kicked?
Yep.
Without actually, anyway.
That happened a few weeks ago, but yeah.
Congratulations to the Beavers. We'll move on. Oh, I guess Oregon does have Tennessee State. Tech.
Tennessee A&M, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. It's Tech, but yeah.
The point is, it's not the University of Tennessee.
They drubbed a Division II school, a level below them, in the FBS last week. So,
sweet. So they're coming in with some momentum.
Their coach is Mac Brown's brother.
Yeah. They got some momentum coming in. Oh,
I learned something today.
Former Vanderbilt head coach. And you know how good.
The football powerhouse that is Vanderbilt. Go Commodores.
Anyway,
Oregon State. Another Pac-12 action. Oregon State, Wisconsin. Wisconsin ranked number 8 in the country.
13.
Arkansas was 8. Sorry.
Yeah, they were 13.
Now they're receiving both.
Now they're under OSU. 77-44.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they were still ahead of them. All right. Anyway.
Anyway, Wisconsin's coming in, and yet again, Vegas knows something that we don't. That spread was at 7 on Friday, which didn't make any sense to me.
I had to
finally moved to 6.5
wow.
on Saturday. Made even less sense to me.
Wow.
And Oregon State comes in, they're at home, they win it outright, 10-7.
They played some defense.
They played a lot of defense.
And Wisconsin didn't play much offense. So they got beat, and they let, they didn't beat them. That must have been an ugly game to watch, other than OSU's offense, which moved up and down the field and only scored 10 points. But Yeah, if you want to watch defense, like,
that's two more than they needed.
Clobber another team. That was a really good win for them, especially because the Big Ten doesn't come along very often at Corvallis.
Well, there's a reason they won't be coming for a long time.
They absolutely need to go get those guys in here like every three or four years.
Well, they need to, but it's a difficult thing to do.
Well,
and look at this weekend, if I can just slightly change subject. The Pac-12 won some games against some decent non-conference, but all of those were home games. How many, other major players are going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll do it.
Syracuse, Wisconsin.
Well, Syracuse was in this year. We had Wisconsin here, Oklahoma State, Illinois, which isn't that great at this, and then Nebraska. Nebraska was in UCLA at the Rose Bowl.
Hey, wherever you win them.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Last year, we weren't expecting them to win those games. So at least they've moved
this
up.
Year, you can. I'm
there
just
we
saying,
go. That's a step up.
No, it is. I'm saying it was great, but by doing that, it's going to be a long. It's going to be even more difficult to get other teams to come out west.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's a. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I think it's more appealing to. I don't think it matters whether you're going to beat somebody or not. You have to actually go and recruit them. Maybe it's not going to be. I mean, I don't know how they got Wisconsin.
Why do you think
the Ducks
are playing Tennessee Tech? Kansas State dropped out.
Because they.
They dropped out. A&M has dropped out.
Kansas State.
Georgia
thing.
Has dropped out.
Well, they got to try harder than to. I mean, to lure those guys.
This is a big program problem. Teams don't want to travel to the West Coast to possibly get beat.
Big program problems are like, I'll just schedule Tennessee Tech in the first place and I'm going to deal with it.
These programs go hand in hand.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that's the issue. Tennessee's supposedly still coming next year. It'll be amazing if they show up.
They have the home and home thing, so I mean I don't know why.
It was all those three games I just mentioned were all home and home, so the other teams bailed on all of them. And I totally get Kansas State, they don't play anybody ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean
they've been able
they
to get
Wyoming,
enough.
That's the
they've
best
been
they
able
can do
to get them. Oklahoma, Michigan.
They were able to go.
They were, yeah.
Well, they wouldn't be able to get them now.
Oh yeah.
And another issue, especially when you're talking about the smaller venues, Washington State, the Oregon States,
they
don't generate
problem.
Enough
yeah.
revenue in those stadiums to make it worth the other team's while. Well,
so over time they got
to
work,
overpay
but
to make it worth their while.
Yeah. Well, I would think Iowa or some Iowa State or some other. There's enough schools
you
out there.
You can get a Purdue. You can get Indiana.
Purdue would be great. Indiana would be great.
I mean, Oregon had them a while ago. You could get those teams, but you're not going to get Michigan. Isn't going to do it again. They came out here. Ohio State will never do that. It was a bigger name program.
That might change when the BCS is down. You may have to schedule. You may have to travel around and really prove your worth to that selection committee to be one of the final four teams. Eventually, final eight teams. 10 years down the line.
So that's what people are saying. Although I'm still a little hesitant. Like, if I go out and I schedule a week, but I win all my games, he can't keep me out.
Yes. You still have to beat, your conference.
Now, the issue
if
I'm a one-loss team, but I played a really good team, then that might help. So, example being last year, Oregon beat USC, and they had one loss. It was against the LSU. Yeah, you would have made it. But then again, the same thing. What if I didn't schedule LSU and I scheduled nobody? I was undefeated. I would still made it. So, that's what a lot of people are saying.
If they
had played, I don't think it's a certain
I guess we're going to have to find out. We'll leave this one undecided. I don't want to just gloss over this Oregon State.
Next
podcast,
we'll come up with a final determination.
I sure hope so. We have a few weeks. Oregon State did a very good job on Saturday. Let's not sell them short here.
No, they did. It was fantastic.
Is it
I thought they were going to get
defense thrown. Wins championships.
Okay.
Well, they're 1-0 well on their way to a Pac-12 championship.
Now if they get that 12-game schedule, they'll be sweet.
There you go. But I mean, that's you want a team comes in with a pretty impressive offensive. They can run the ball over you, and they don't.
Didn't last week either.
So well, and they didn't this week either. So maybe really it is that they suck, but teams are making them showing off that they do suck. So
So that actually leads perfectly into my next question. Did they expose Wisconsin? Has Wisconsin officially been exposed? Are they overrated?
Overrated.
Or were the Ducks underrated?
Beavers?
Beavers, yeah.
Damn it, Beavers. There's a reason this is my last show, guys.
The Beavers were underrated to an extent because nobody expected them to be competitive, I don't think.
Yeah.
Now, I think Wisconsin was also overrated. Even in their first game where they won, they didn't look that good. They didn't look like a top 15 team or whatever.
Number 13.
Yeah. Now, are they a terrible team? No. They'll win games. They'll make a bowl. But it's not going to be, they're not going to make the Rose Bowl. They're not going to go win the Big Ten. Big Ten. For the third year in a row. I don't see that happening. Although half the teams in that division are ineligible, so maybe.
But they're probably not going to end the Legends or whatever.
The leaders.
Yeah.
We're blitzing the program Monday Night Football, so we apologize for any background noise. But that's half the fun of coming here.
Which is fun.
Well, nothing wrong with being in San Diego, then. Especially not today. Sure. We're fine.
Yes.
OSU, I think they significantly have some stuff to prove. And they have a history of winning impressively at home, games you don't think they're going to win. So USC, like, jumps off the line a couple of times. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have that there. And it's the biggest non-conference win. Maybe ever.
All right, so I jokingly texted you after I found out about the Oregon State victory that you should rank them. I think I added a couple of exclamation points.
They
so it was clear. They got votes this year, this week.
I think they're in like 28th spot or 29th spot.
They get another win. They're right up there.
Do they deserve to be ranked, or is it just one of these two
right
wins?
Now?
Like, as of right now?
No.
Okay.
Now, well, here's the weird thing about their schedule. They got a bye week this week. And then they play at UCLA. And the way UCLA is playing, that should be a really good game, and I think a pretty good litmus test of where they're going to be. Both teams. And then after that, I think they're at Arizona. They got a kind of tough schedule to start of the year.
They've got a schedule that they can win and show off that they are a good team. So, I mean, it's not like they're playing USC or Stanford or, you know, Oregon. These are games that they can...
they can win, but they're not weak opponents.
They're solid opponents. Yeah, that's what
In
I'm
fact,
saying.
They're two ranked teams right now.
They're probably. I mean, those are games that they would be the underdogs. They'll be the underdogs in both those games. But not by a ton. So
I'm making a little bit of a mess.
Underdog,
the bye week,
not amazing. But,
is the bye week going to hurt
road
them?
Games, which makes it tougher.
Is the bye week going to hurt them for ranking? Are people going to forget about them? They're going to be 1-0 3 weeks into the season.
Well, I don't think anything's going to change next week unless the team is 23-25 and lose. So next week wouldn't matter. I mean, if they played and won, it might matter. But I don't think it's going to hurt them in any way. It all comes down to the game on the 22nd against UCLA. And we're talking about rankings. Now they lose that, so they're going to have to work their way back up.
Gotcha. All right.
But honestly, I mean, if they split their next two games, that's pretty good, right?
They're top 20 then.
I don't know. You beat UCLA, you're ranked, and you lose one, you're out.
Well, but I mean, they win both of those games.
But
even then, they win both of those games. They're going to be 3-0 against teams that are 5-0.
Outside of that.
They've got two missing games in the middle of the year, at the beginning of the year. Sure, I know they'll make them up as the season goes on, but
they'd be 3-0 against winning games that a lot of people thought they didn't, weren't, it's not like they're beating Tennessee Tech or Arkansas State. They're beating, named Wisconsin, UCLA, Arizona. Everybody knows where those schools are located.
They are in Wisconsin.
I know where Tennessee Tech is.
You know Arkansas State is located in Arkansas.
And I know
and Tennessee Tech is Tennessee somewhere there, yeah.
You tell me where Arizona is. I don't know. Okay.
Other big stories around the college football universe. The number 8, Arkansas, falling out of the rank because of a loss.
Formerly number 8.
The Arkansas formerly known as number 8. falls out of rankings altogether with an Appalachian State-esque loss to Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah. Go that team. Warhawks, something like that.
The Warhawks, yes.
Yeah.
Still, what are they? They were like...
They just got confused by War Eagle.
They were undrenching themselves from the hurricane, too, or something like that.
All dried out with nowhere to go.
Get out of town and go beat someplace where they're in a drought. So, drink some water and show it off. Yep. Big loss for them.
They stopped that team numerous times on third down, okay? They just couldn't stop them on fourth down. They're like 6 for 7 on fourth down.
I was always looking at the bright side. Their third down percentage was amazing. Fourth down, man, that's all good.
So you got, just get off the field on third down. Oh, they're not going to off the field. Ah, jerks.
What did you go for? It's three down territory.
Yeah.
No big changes in the rankings.
Besides number 18,
besides
the dropping all the way.
But in the top of the rankings.
That one, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep. They all pretty much stayed exactly where they were, which, based on those results, they should all stay. I guess the only one of them had a really decent opponent. That's Washington, LSU beat Washington by a billion or whatever. Not unexpected.
Any shakeups coming in the near future? Anything you're excited about this weekend? College.
No.
Look at the schedule. Yeah, I think no.
PSU at Washington.
There you go.
Ah, there we have it. That wraps our college football conversation. That's us. On to real football. Pro football, which is happening as we speak. Happened as we spoke all day yesterday.
Yes.
Happened Wednesday.
We were talking so much.
We were speaking a lot yesterday. Right? Football season back, a couple of surprises. Namely, Michael Vick throwing 56 times in a game. That's the one that really stands out.
Only 4 interceptions.
Only?
They got their win.
Team, Cliff, do you want to give us a Super Bowl prediction? You missed the preview. You don't have to go all the way, but...
None.
We went division by division in our preview last week.
Crap.
Super Bowl.
We know you want to pencil the Packers in there.
I want to pencil the Packers in, and I'm also going to pencil...
can't be the Buccaneers. They play in the same division.
You know, that's a good point, because they were right there. Pittsburgh. Packers, Pittsburgh.
Taking both teams off to 0-1 start. I like it.
There you go. How? I don't want to start with the Saints game just because I'm a Saints fan. I'd like to be a little, more objective.
We can start
right
with
there,
it's not called the Saints game. It's called the RG3 game.
It was the RG3 game. It hurts a bit, but man, I was telling you, he looked good. He looked really good yesterday. And
one of the 5 Ricky Quarks had to.
Well,
I like how they handled him, how they coached him. Yeah, I mean, from the very first drive, it's like, okay, let's not do too much. Just throw the ball sideways, the easiest pass we got, right down the field.
They
kick
did.
A
they
field
start
goal.
Off with like 6 pretty easy passes to get him kind of going.
Build
and then
that confidence.
I like what they did. The Saints were so concerned about his running ability. They just bootlegged him, and you could see the Saints, instead of charging after him, made this like wall. Which just basically set defenders in front of him where he can be like, oh, there's a tight end 12 yards down the field. And he'd always make that play instead of what you expected, what obviously the defense expected, was to scramble or run for that first down or yardage.
Just a fabulous game all around for them.
Yeah.
Enough defense to win.
The most impressive part, like you said, was probably the decision-making on him by a rookie quarterback. And we know the Saints' defense... not in the best state right now, although they did the appeal on Friday. It's never exactly been the... right. Jonathan Vilma on secret suspension on the player
double
unable to
secret.
Perform list.
Double secret.
Other storylines around the league. Kicked off on Wednesday. Giants over the Cowboys. Lies. Cowboys over the Giants. Big time. Tony Romo looked fantastic.
Yeah, this week also proved, once again, don't follow my picks. I don't know what my final record is, but I at least missed half of them. At least.
Let's keep going down the list then. So we've now covered most of the NFC East. Actually, we've covered all the NFC East at this point.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Why is it stay with the conference closest to us?
Yeah.
Division's closest.
Of course. Seattle. Playing yesterday.
Seattle, yeah. A lot of dark horse picks for Super Bowls.
Got distracted. People yelling. I don't know.
Football!
Two Monday night games tonight. All the games yesterday.
Do that every week? I don't like this two Monday nights only once a year or whatever it is.
No,
every week.
Nah, the two Monday nights, they start too early. Especially out here on the West Coast. That first game.
No, I get off at 4. I'm good.
Some of us aren't so lucky. Some of us have shows to host. Hey.
I do that too now, I guess.
It's a pass of the buck over here.
Realize I'm calling you at midnight from now on.
Oh,
and our weekly segment. Wait, Carlos.
There you go. There's a little action for you.
Thank you.
Can I get another one of these?
What is it?
It's one of the Coors Light.
Ablitz and the Pearl, like we said. Derek's food is here. It's delicious. We've had a busy night tonight.
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. These double headers. We keep everybody hanging around. No, I've lost my train of thought. Seattle Seahawks. Dark horse pick. Playing the Cardinals yesterday. They were the late afternoon game. I'm guessing most people got to watch this.
Oh, we're out here.
You seem thrilled about that.
It's Paul Allen's team. I'm like,
I was interested in seeing Russell Wilson. Last time I watched a full game with him, he couldn't spike a ball in time, which was fantastic for me. But I mean, he'd been pumped up. He'd been like, you know, the surprise guy, and he played, I guess I would say, mediocre.
I can give him mediocre. He played like a rookie quarterback.
He had 10 chances to win that game.
Many.
And probably, his receivers could have got two of those. Yeah, it was a weird game. The referees made one mistake. It didn't really matter in the game.
Yeah. Luckily, it didn't matter. Otherwise, that'd be all we were talking about right now.
Well, I guess I don't want to sidebar us too much on the referees, but the referees didn't make many bad calls, but they seem very disorganized out there. And especially when they're announcing penalties and stuff, it's like, the defense had 12 guys? It's like, people were confident. Just go out there and say it.
I thought they did
Miami
pretty good.
Game,
yeah.
Last week, they called a penalty on Texas.
So you'd rather somebody be confidently wrong.
Yeah, at least
you're
sure.
Show apprehension while they're trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
You voted for George Bush, didn't you?
You know, the regular refs screw up all the time.
They do, and I think that's kind of the thing.
I thought they did it. I mean, they want, there is a lot of like, okay, let's make sure we got stuff right. Yeah, so they're...
It didn't affect any game.
Yeah, no, I don't think it affected... I mean, the games that I was watching, nothing seemed to, like, you know... And I sort of half liked the way it seemed like there was more contact and fewer per pass interference calls, which I really liked
the
that.
Game the end?
Well, I know, the end there was kind of... but there were... I mean, those were at least...
I'm just saying, it was like... we got a pass interference. Oh!
Yeah, so, but I thought they, especially at the end of the game, they let a lot of contact go right down towards the goal line, so I'm all for that. You know. The way to get around that is just throw the ball to somebody who's wide open, instead of somebody who's, you know, being draped over by somebody.
In triple coverage.
In triple coverage, yeah, so there you go. Anyway. Yourself, what do you think of the officiating?
I think the officiating was actually surprisingly good. Yeah, they look a little, I don't want to say unprofessional.
Fresh.
They look new at their jobs, which is exactly what they are. But they've done a fine job from what I've seen. Aside from granting the extra timeout in the Seattle game.
Which they even said, well, really wasn't an extra timeout because it was dealt with whatever.
Yeah, there was a clock stoppage.
Whatever.
And,
it didn't affect the game at all.
It wasn't. But considering everything that possibly could have gone wrong this weekend,
yeah,
everything was fine. We talked about this last week a little bit. I just don't understand why the NFL doesn't pay the real refs.
What's the actual problem? All the, you know, the top guys make so much money. Why is handing a little bit more money out to referees such a big deal?
And if you really cared about player safety, refs are a big part of that. No, there were no terrible injuries yesterday or Wednesday. But that's just one more thing to worry about, is people letting the game get out of hand. So, pay the refs. That's really all it should be. Just pay the refs.
It's not like they're asking for, you know, a gigantic, multi-billion-dollar... Yeah, I mean, they're... Pay us a little bit more. What's wrong with that? So, especially because of the abuse officials can take.
And do.
Yeah, and do. So...
Yeah, it's gotta be like the most thankless job in the world. Right up.
They love the so some of the guys who are, and I ended up having a conversation with somebody. The two of the head of the OSAA official or Oregon high school official, Jack Folliard. He does Pac-10 games. Yeah, he's done a national championship game too.
Pac-what?
He did Pac-10 games back when it was the Pac-10. But I'm not sure if he might have moved up. But anyway, he did a national championship game too. But him and one of the other head dudes for high school here both got into officiating for the same reason, beer money.
I mean, that's how you start, beer money all weekend.
Like, you know what, I got nothing else going on.
Go into the negotiations.
I think
we just need more beer money.
We just need more beer money, man. Not for me, it's for my kids.
You guys have partnerships with every major beer
company. I don't drink anymore, but my kids do. They need parties.
You don't have to pass. Give us some beer.
Give us some freaking beer. You got sponsors, don't you? I love it.
You could tell just in there like, no, I just got screwed over on this whole suspension thing. You guys are getting less money.
I want to talk a little bit about the football on the field before we went to the off-the-field stuff, but you brought up the suspension and the appeals. Let's talk about it now.
Okay.
Panel of three arbitrators ruled that Goodell did not have the jurisdiction to enforce this kind of penalty on the players. Penalties on the coaches have been, actually weren't appealed to begin with, so it's not really an issue. Essentially, four players won an appeal. It matters for three of them because one of them is a free agent. Matters even more for two of them because they're on the Saints, and I cheer for them.
So really only two guys.
Really only two guys benefit from this. Where do you side with the arbitrators? Or do you side with the arbitrators?
Yeah, let them play. I mean, it's, the stuff that they were going after him for, the biggest thing that I would do with it is the fining part, you know, and like basically calling them out, saying, all right, here's what you guys did. Part about, okay, you can't play and all that. I'm not so hopped up on that.
Yeah,
there are plenty of things you can do to like punish him without making him not play.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, obviously, if this wasn't the first time or he's trying to set a precedent, you know, the penalties wouldn't have been this harsh. I think there was an overreaction on his side, and especially since we still haven't seen all this proof that they supposedly have, it's kind of weird. So it's hard not to side with the players on that. Especially when, you look back at those games and you're like, really, those guys, those are the ones they're targeting, those guys really haven't done anything. You know.
And the stuff they're doing is part of the game from other, I mean, everybody's doing that. They just don't have like a, you know, a laundry list, you know, a menu of how you get paid for it. So.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to, I think Goodell played this the wrong way, saying, hey, we're here to, what he should have done is saying, hey, we're here to protect our players, we're not going to let our own other players try to injure our players. That's how we should approach it. But now it almost seems like it's just, I'm Roger Goodell, and this is how it's going to be kind of thing. I don't think he approached it the right way. So
would have been interesting if they had come to the union, to the players' union, and like combined and said, hey, what do you guys want to do? Because
that's,
really,
what I kind of thought from the
that's
union,
you
is
guys.
Like, I get that the Players Association is there getting their players back who are being suspended. But at the same time, if this was true, say they had whatever evidence, And, like, yeah, Vilma or whoever it was literally trying to break somebody's leg or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the guy he's trying to hurt is a player as well. You got to represent him. So, I think that would be a good idea. Coming to the PA first and
the what do you guys want to do and say, okay, we're the league. Here's what we think. You know, we want the entire game. But this is players against players. So how do you guys want to handle it? Show off. You want all these big contract thing? You want big contracts? Go and show off what your commitment to the game is. You make it up.
And players aren't in the clear just yet. It's possible that Goodell come back and reveal more evidence and essentially decide if he wants to punish them as a salary cap violation, which I think is like nailing Al Capone for tax evasion, or for an actual player conduct kind of thing. It's like nice to throw them out there every now and then. If there is indeed more evidence, as Goodell has assured us, and I'm sure this is not the last we've heard of it,
if seem like guy's gonna give up.
Jonathan Vilma's secret six-game suspension is enough to really make him happy, then that's it.
He beat me to it.
Back to the game stuff very quickly. Couple of games.
Just not getting the double secret.
I am. Okay. Animal House. I'm just not even
impressed by it. Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of Animal House. I think I saw it too late in life.
Those guys seem out of control.
Square.
This is obviously not reality.
The back to on the field stuff. New England game caught my eye, not because of New England. They rolled, expectedly so. On the Tennessee side, Jake Locker hurt his shoulder.
Oh.
Left the game. That's our local connection. Washington, borders Oregon. Jake Locker having his first start for Tennessee.
Yeah.
There we go.
It ended about how I expected that to go.
Well, hurt his shoulder trying to make a tackle.
There we go.
Which is why quarterback
made a good tackle. He put too much into it.
Could have been a slightly better tackle.
See, the problem is that he needed to throw the interception to make the tackle. So he got it all wrong. He got it all wrong. No interception, no tackle, you know. That's the kind of thing they teach you at Washington. So, damn it.
My biggest shock out of all these games, out of all of that game, looking at the stat lines, Jake Locker still finished the game as the Titans' leading rusher. This team with Chris Johnson on the field.
We have 4 yards or something?
I think he had 11 yards.
That was 11
four carries. Oh. Or 11 carries, 4 yards?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Johnson had 4 yards.
No, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Had 11 carries, 4 yards.
Locker is spending a lot of time on a few yards, man.
Well, it's Chris Johnson getting 4 yards in a game. I think it's noteworthy.
Especially when I think Woody came out this year and say he was going to get... He was going to lead the league in rushing this year.
It's not a good start.
They figured out if he averages that a game, he'll only have to play 409 games to lead the league based on last year's rushing.
There you go. That's blogging right there. You got to have something. Oh, yes.
I love the internet. I love the drug.
Get your calculator out of there.
San Francisco game. Or the Green Bay game, depending on how you view it. Niners marching to Lambeau.
Can I say this about the Niners?
Go for it.
Good hire in your coach.
Good hire.
See, good is not even... man, that was just... You know, that was a fabulous move for him, too. Just, I mean, everything worked out well there. That was... Yeah.
Not for other teams to try to hire him, like
revitalize. You know, so have they figured out their stadium? They got a new stadium on the way, right? They have not figured the friggin' stadium out.
I don't know, because every other time I turn around, it's either they have or they haven't.
Yeah, and they absolutely will not let Oakland build a stadium in San Jose. So they really need to parlay Mr. Harbaugh into a kick-ass stadium.
I don't understand why they can't do a joint stadium like New York. You need a plug-in?
That's not a bad idea.
I do need a plug-in. Continue. Joint stadium like New York. Wait a second. Why would that be a good idea?
Because then you only have to spend $1 billion once.
Once, yeah.
and you fill it up twice as much.
That's a good
and
idea
it's,
for the
And
city.
It's a market. I mean, it's a major market, so yeah. It seemed like they would be
you
able
to... You put Oakland and San Francisco, the Bay Area is a huge, huge market.
So maybe not 70,000 or 80,000, but they got, you know, they could... If it's 70,000, got the... They do something like they do in Dallas. Or, and they could make a really kick-ass stadium. They got all that technology
right
down
that stadium,
there.
Somebody's going to die there just because it fell on them at some point. That's going to happen. They need a new stadium desperately, and Candlestick isn't that great either.
Candlestick would have the grass infield, or the dirt infield, if they actually had baseball there still. But they don't, you know. But
yes.
Baseball bailed on Candlestick a long time
ago. Yeah, they got their own too.
They got their shit together, yeah. So...
The point of this is, the Niners upset the Packers in Lambeau.
And they should get a new stadium for it. That's what we're saying.
You win this game.
You win this game.
Get a bonus
you
stadium.
You get a new stadium. Stadium bonus, eh? Randy Moss is
what happens when we win two games in a row? Spaceship.
No,
you
the
get
Raiders
a dome
their
stadium. A retractable dome stadium.
Yeah. Like, we didn't say how good a stadium was. Oh, you want seats?
Where?
Come on, man. Keep it going.
It's a tough conversation to follow. Sorry, guys. Keep me on my toes.
It was a surprising game. I really thought Green Bay would take that at home. I thought their defense would be a lot better than last year.
Defense is not existing.
Green Bay loses at home. New Orleans loses at home. Hey, it's kind of a, this is a nice first week of the season to kind of shake everybody up. Like, you know, hey guys, everybody pay attention again.
Yeah. Summer vacation's
the
over.
The Jets scored.
The Jets score, yeah.
A lot.
Jinx.
Yep.
Either they made up for last time, or they're not scoring for the next four games.
Bringing the average down to about the 11-12 they should have a game. That sounds right. So, I guess what do we make of the Niners? I was wrong.
Until something happens to them, I'm on their bandwagon.
They're picking up from last year, yeah. They're just
ever since they got Michael James.
The savior? Can we call him the savior?
Been calling him that for years.
Several people already had them pegged as...
Not this guy.
No, not this table. Definitely not this table. We thought they were going to drop off and kind of back their way into the NFC West.
I was thinking back to last week. Did I say 12 game or 10?
I definitely said less than 12. I said 10.
I think I did 10.
And we cited this game as a big one.
I was like, see, that's a loss right there. Yeah, I probably said those words.
Are we overrating the Packers?
They went 15-1 last year.
They're
at home.
You can't, 15-1 is a pretty... 12-4 is a great record.
No. Right, and I'm not saying that the Packers would get that this year. I'm just saying, am I overrating the Packers? I didn't think so. Yeah. What did they do to change my mind on anything? It wouldn't have been... I don't think they did anything.
Yeah, they just lost in a game that they played poorly.
Are we making too big a deal of week one?
That's it.
And not tied for last place.
It's week one.
They are in sole possession of last place in the NFC North.
Minnesota, exactly.
I think, you know what? What Green Bay showed us out of that game is the ability to score on special teams. So, you know, that's important. You got to have that.
Speaking of Brad screwing things up.
I start 0-2?
I don't.
What if the refs threw up?
A couple of blocks in the back for Green Bay scoring on special teams.
Oh, okay.
There's always blocks in the back.
Yeah.
It just depends on how back it is. Side. Yeah.
And you get instant replay on all that stuff. So, you know.
Yeah. You just brought up. No. What do we say? Space it out.
They play Chicago next week?
Play Chicago. They start 0-2. No, I don't think they start 0-2. I think Chicago loses that game.
In Chicago.
Green Bay wins that game.
Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler, they like
United.
Each other. And they have a running back this time.
Please go on, yeah. Whoever that's karaoke right now.
Mad at the play callers already.
Already?
Yeah.
Good start.
Glad we gave you a contract.
All right, that wraps up football for this week.
What?
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what I'm missing.
We're missing the Denver game. The Denver, the triumphant return of Peyton Manning. Roethlisberger game, Denver, Pittsburgh. Ryan Clark unable to play.
That's the difference in the game, if you ask me. Why they only lost by like.
Anyway, Peyton Manning's back.
And he's alive. And he's well.
I'm going to give him well.
He's alive and well. He's playing well.
Yeah.
After that game, he said that he could play better and that he was still working on the Kings. To which I said, oh. Was it, I watched the. Like the. Thank you. I watched the. I don't know, a little after halftime.
Okay.
And I was like, this is kind of a boring game. And then both teams with no huddle, like, that's what these quarterbacks have to do. Otherwise, they're not entertaining at all.
Is that the problem?
How many no huddle teams do we have now? We've got Denver, Pittsburgh,
New England.
Washington did it for a while.
Washington did it for a bit. Indy did it for a bit yesterday. Oh, Baltimore has been going.
Didn't catch much of the Indianapolis Colts.
Baltimore's been going no huddle.
That's true. They
the Saints could go no huddle if they
Packers
wanted to,
can.
But they don't. Packers go no huddle every night.
Why don't the Saints?
They used to.
But the coach is there in the huddle with them. Why does
it? I don't know. They went away from it last year.
Andrew Brees had won a game as head coach.
Inappropriate bench.
Yankee, man. Yankee's ass.
He's the coach. He's going to yank.
Oh, this is the other thing I wanted to bring up during the scandal. So coaches didn't appeal. Sean Payton is the offensive coordinator for his 12-year-old football team.
Yes.
Who, they're apparently running the same plays.
They have 12 at least, plays on a wristband, same terminology as the Saints.
Okay. Very cool. Maybe I was overreacting last that they're running the same plays.
Yeah. He's like, where's my Darren Sproles? You, kid, come here.
What is there?
Your name is Darren Sproles now. Shut up, Darren.
Marcus, come here. That's not my name. Marcus, come here.
Suspended for a year.
You're not comments about
really
that.
The really bad thing is when he's like, all right, DJs. All right, you see that guy's ankle over there? No! There's a Pepsi in it
no.
for you. All right.
So my son, he's supposed to give him my son's third grade. He's playing third grade, third, fourth grade football. Got to watch third, fourth grade football for the very first time on Saturday. And
how was that?
The team that I watched, one of the teams, and there was a team that was winning. They got 3 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on their coaches for screaming and yelling at the officials because they thought the other team was lining up in the neutral zone. And they all, like, went ballistic.
I'm okay with that.
Play after play after play.
Okay, so it's like 3 flags on one play? Or
no, on successive plays.
This is why I told my wife a long time ago that I will never coach anything like
You see that, don't you?
I can't even show up to the game, bro.
The official's like, come on, guys. First off, okay, get off the field.
Have, like,
it was like
video conferencing by then, right? Just turn it off.
It was hilarious. So.
This is all, no, this ties back in perfectly. So we've got video conferencing and stuff. How can the NFL keep Sean Payton from contacting his team?
They can't.
No way, yeah.
I think it's one of those things like, don't do it. If you do it so obvious that
we catch you,
it's going to get bad. You know?
He's just not on the field, so there you go.
He's not allowed on the field. He's not in practice. He's not allowed to make contact with those people.
Okay,
he's not allowed
contact,
to, like,
whatever. He's not on the field on Sundays, so you're, like, you know, taking his leg away from him for a year. So.
I think the thing is...
He's coached with a broken leg before. It's fine.
He doesn't have a leg. Not a broken leg. No leg. He's got to stand on one foot. And, you know, watch it, you know. Just make it away. There you go. In a bar. So he's got to watch it in a bar. He's got to watch it in a bar with other people who are, like, you know. Yeah,
I don't think he
not,
goes
not happy people.
You don't think he goes away?
To a bar.
To a bar. Probably doesn't.
They make him, you know. That's part of the punishment. Yeah. That bar right over there.
You have to watch
there,
at a Falcons bar.
You would never go there.
You have to go
coach. You have to go there.
I guess it's really not question. I apologize for that.
I think that the threat of a stronger penalty would be just like, okay, I get it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's a suspension for a year. What's the next? Where does it get to? No, you're not.
Well, indefinitely,
you're not
if you're Greg Williams, apparently. Right. Yeah. All right, enough football talk for the day. Tennis happened today.
U.S. Open final. On a Monday?
For like the third time in a row.
In the U.S. Open, I think so, something like that. Congratulations to Andy... Oh, spoiler alert.
Andy Roddick?
Congratulations.
He did it!
To Andy Murray, first Brit ever to win a major since 1935, 36, whatever.
Long
before the big war.
Wooden tennis rackets were in use.
Djokovic down two sets, comes back to four sets.
Yeah, that wooden frame. He tied them so they wouldn't get warped.
Nobody screamed and yelled every time they hit the ball.
You got to actually watch the end, Derek.
Yeah.
Looked a little nervous there.
Well, you know, I mean, I didn't have any invested in the winner. Or whatever. Anyway, but yeah, I was at work, like, I was just keeping tabs of it, you know, on ESPN, and Murray went up, like, two sets. And I was like, well, good for him, you know, he's won it. Like, hours later, I get home, and I'm watching Monday Night Football. Again, another reason. Like, I get home and just watch Monday Night I'm like, well,
he's got a family.
I better check this.
Let's see what the final was.
She's watching it with me. Okay. And coloring. So, anyway. So I'm like, well, this, I might as well pull up the phone and see how Andy Murray won this. I'm like, and the headline is like, let's play five or something like that. I was like,
it's still going.
I'm like, it's still going? So I turn it on immediately, and at that point I watched the last few points in the game. That is two muffed punts by the Raiders, and they had another block. Special teams, Raiders. They go hand in hand. They do not look happy there in Oakland. And that's not good.
Yeah,
maybe the new stadium
like
could have some type of like hockey window so the fans couldn't get, you know.
You could have that, you know, that bar in the end zone where Sean Payton would not want to hang out.
It's a bar under the black hole.
So, yeah, I turn it on and he goes up. He's like 30 low there in the last, what would be his last set. And there's this weird, you know, review play, and it's like really close. You know, I love how tennis does the review thing because it's all electronic. I'm like, it looks like Tron. What is this, an accurate representation of what happened?
And that's my major problem with this. I'm not sure that's real. Like, that could be manipulated computer-wise.
They're making it up. Yeah.
Yes, I'm a little paranoid about computers becoming self-aware and messing with my tennis scores.
Terminator, man. We're headed for Terminator.
Rise of the Machines.
And after that, the Matrix. It's
John
like
Connor, Jimmy Connors, coincidence? I think not.
You have enough weapon stash. anyway, yeah, so at the last point, Murray took like an inordinate amount of time and did not look like himself or really any other professional tennis player out there. Not that he was doing anything wrong, but he'd come up there, and you know how they have their own little rhythm, they get into much like a free throw shot.
Yeah.
They bounce the ball a couple times, whatever it is. He'd go up there, he'd bounce it with a racket, and then like he'd stop, and he'd back away from the line, and like literally do like turn around and stuff.
Start over again.
He had to do it a couple times, but he lost a point. Then he just had to do it a couple times. Like, he was nervous, but like he got one serve in, and Djokovic hit it long, and that was the match for him.
Congratulations, Andy Murray. 1-5 in finals.
Great Britain's got some stuff going on for him this year.
Stuff going on.
Olympics.
Hey, he won the gold, though.
He did.
Tour de France. A few weeks after Wimbledon lost.
Tour de France, the Olympics. They got the U.S. Open. There.
That one guy runs real far. But not, like, really far. Like, a medium problem.
All right, what are we watching this week?
Prince Harry taking on the Taliban. Yeah, it's all going on.
That's right, he's back out there.
Yep.
And the circus.
Timbers!
Is that
it? Playing Seattle on Saturday.
I don't think he'd be at this.
No, he wouldn't be.
Our mighty Timbers are taking on Seattle on Saturday. It's like the one.
Did you guys do a show last week?
We didn't, know, but we're going to do one tomorrow night. So they changed owners, and now they're open again. So.
Is it still going to be at the artist formerly known as the Bulldog Tavern?
That's correct.
Which is now the
Commodore Lounge.
Yeah. Right. So we'll still be there.
Yeah.
All right. Check out No Pity City. Tuesday nights at 8:30.
Same location, different name.
Commodore Lounge.
That's how I pitched it to Mike. He's like, okay, let's go for it.
Are they still going to be a Timbers bar?
What's that?
Are they still going to be a Timbers bar?
They are. I think, the dude who owns it, I think he's smart enough to figure that out, but he's not a Timbers fan. So the Commodore Lounge is not a soccer location. So he's going to have to warm up that timber is equal money. So
is that only for the Commodores?
I'm not, you know, exactly sure what the his deal is. So he's a very different owner than the previous owner. Yeah, so.
Do we know what happened with the Bulldog Tavern? Are we allowed to talk about that on air?
He just, you know, I think he got tired of working like entire his whole
every
life.
Every Tuesday, these guys would come in.
His whole, you know, that was part of it. He was like, you know, well, how come you guys are exciting and entertaining and my life is boring? So I think I just should
like,
sell.
I really need to change things up.
I could just
clip
sell,
and, like,
yeah. So
like a quick turnaround.
I think somebody came along and said, hey, you know, what if I pay you this? Will you give me your spot? So I think that's what happened.
Gotcha.
Like, you know what?
I'm waiting for somebody to do that.
I'll take a break.
I'm not paying you to take the spot.
I'll go and not work for a little while and just kind of relax. So that's
No Pity City tomorrow night. Timber Sounders, which you're watching on Saturday. Derek, what are you watching?
Football.
Totally acceptable answer.
Football. I'm preparing for a roof ball.
September 30th, the roof ball games. October.
Mentally prepared.
14. I'll do the math on dates.
The U.S. Open will not be rained out. We play through the rain. Luckily, it has never really rained on.
Yeah, it's getting later on in the year. You have to worry about that. I will be watching Chasing Sarasota.
How many times?
At least 3 times this week.
That's it?
Well, I've got...
Oh, like 6, 7 times.
So, Matt Mastrotomo, the captain of Rhino, the Ultimate Frisbee team, the documentary that they shot, we've had all those guys on here. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Not ad nauseum. We're very happy to talk about it. Yeah. Sorry. I'm going to go tour with him for 2 weeks as he's doing screenings up and down the East Coast. I'll be in Atlanta tomorrow night.
Wow.
Raleigh the evening after that. Washington, D.C.
He's not sleeping from now on until it's done.
The evening after that, or maybe the evening after that. That's still unclear to me. But anyway, we're doing a bunch of cities.
You don't need to know your schedule. Just be there. You're good.
If you're in any of these cities, Atlanta, Raleigh, Washington, Philly, Montreal, Ottawa, or Buffalo over the next 2 weeks, go check out a screening of Chasing Sarasota. It's a very good documentary, not just because he comes on my podcast and says cool things and he's a buddy of mine. It's actually a good documentary, so you should check it out. Go to ChasingSarasota.com and buy the DVD. Support up-and-coming filmmakers because they're going to need that. Wink, wink.
Also seen on ESPN.
Also seen on ESPN Top 10. That's true, Sunday night. They made the Top 10 last night. They were like number 6.
That? No. They had, what, number 6?
I think it's 6 or 7.
Number 6 highlight.
Wow.
Or 7.
I forget.
And it wasn't even a catch.
No, it
was totally not what
play.
I expected to see, but it was awesome. Well, I even, like, talked to somebody else about it who I had never talked about all the time. I was like, there was this, and I give the whole backstory, and they're like, I saw it! That was awesome!
Was it from the documentary, or is it?
No, it was like that week.
Okay.
It was game night.
They had a regional tournament down in California, somewhere.
I saw something that was promoting it, but I didn't actually get to see it.
Yeah.
It was an all-out, completely horizontal to the ground swipe of the
boom. Yeah.
The bee. Something crazy.
The bee. All right, I've kept very diligent score today, and man, it's been a real barn burner.
Yeah.
But. I'm not going to lie, Cliff Meyer wanted at the beginning because he said he's got stories.
Oh.
And when I want to hear Cliff's stories, I give him what plucks his duck. Congratulations, Cliff. Tell us, please, what plucks your duck this evening?
Okay, I got to pull one out because I already, like, that was my
Oh, you already had
two. Yeah, that makes you beat.
Yeah. Ooh, that right there.
I'll change
okay.
It.
Alrighty, here's what plucks my duck is being a parent.
Yep, that's terrible.
Shit,
next.
I finish that sentence right there.
Of kids with of
yes. As
of
ideas.
And you have to coach, and you have to watch your kids play on a team that's coached by not another parent. And so somebody who doesn't have like that investment in. I mean, this
otherwise
is,
they'd get more penalties.
This is a very like challenging thing because my you know.
That's a personal offense.
And I am gonna like take this. This is my
don't
my,
break your own pinky.
My son's team. I'm gonna you know I need that because I'm pissed. I'm upset. I need some pain, man. But yeah, anyway, my son's football team. They're playing their very first game tomorrow. third and fourth grade stuff. We're playing a team that is much better than us. We're probably going to get our asses kicked.
I like how you're taking ownership of the week.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate. I've actually been bitching to the league going, hey, why is this guy our coach? Well, how come we spend a half an hour on jumping jacks in unison? That is some of the one of the
are
things.
Are they getting better at it?
You can't get better at it.
And doing it
you can
unison,
just keep doing it over and over and over. Anyway, so the thing is apparent is one of the and I've been promoting this, I don't want my son to become a football player. I want him to play football. He'll become a football player on his own. So there's like, it's a very challenging thing as a parent to be, to watch, to have your, you know, watch your kids and kind of, you know, and I have it with soccer too. It's like, I'm a very unhappy parent watching teams that are coached by somebody other than me.
Other than you?
Yeah.
Specifically? Okay, that's
other
how you
than
started
me, yeah.
That.
So, because I'm a much better coach than they are. So that's, you know, what?
Anybody ever?
That for my kids, yeah, you bet.
What if Sean Payton?
Sean Payton, that guy sucks, man. He can't even watch stuff.
Can't
in
even
a
keep
bar.
A job in the league.
He's only got 12 plays on that wristband. Screw that.
Freaking get, yeah. So anyway,
this wristband's got like a holdout.
we would have at least 4 plays in our playbook, not 3.
Have you tried the jumping jack play?
We would not, and one of them would actually be a passing play. 5 weeks in, we haven't even thrown
one. You have
one
somebody
can freaking pass. So
what
like,
position
you know what?
Is your son playing?
He was playing quarterback, and then he got demoted from my pitching and moaning. They're like, hey, why don't you throw a passing play? I'll show you. Anyway, that's like probably actually beer number 2. Me talking there, so.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. That's why we're here. Let's in the pro. We can have multiple beers.
Being a parent, you know, as long when you really start getting into it, it's rough to watch your kids play.
I can't watch my kid play practice soccer.
It's you're getting into it, man.
Derek, what makes your beaver eager? And as a caveat, since you haven't plucked your duck, your beaver can be eager for what plucks your duck. If that helps.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Well. Can I do 2, or do I have to go?
Yeah, it goes to 2. Okay. Why not?
And involve Tennessee Tech, by the way. So.
It's like the...
that was both my beaver eager and my fucking no. No. I forgot everything.
That's what Tennessee Tech does to you.
Yes, they do. They literally make me forget things. What what makes my beaver eager is that I went 2 weeks without playing any sports, and now I got fall softball started back up and soccer. So I'm playing 2 sports again.
Sports.
So my Sundays and Tuesdays now have something to do.
It's so much easier when you're playing them. It's very much harder when it's your
kids. Yeah. And then what plucks my duck, as a former coach of kids that weren't mine, parents who think they know too much. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
It's like 85% kidding.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Put it down on paper, by the way.
Yeah. What plucks my duck is that you're leaving. We're not gonna hang out every week anymore and talk sports.
You know, there are many forms of communication we can maintain, and I'm sure we will.
Yes, but how many can we broadcast? Okay, we can still do
it. And really, it would be that you're leaving to New York because New York sucks, man.
You don't mean that. Let's not say things we can't take back, all right? It's my last time here.
Don't be bad.
It's
not like Seattle, so...
It's definitely better than Seattle.
It's definitely better than Seattle. It's San Francisco, too.
Yeah,
not Oakland,
agreed.
I think they're going to get a new stadium.
Well, it depends on this game, really.
This is
a deal breaker.
San Diego want a new stadium, too? Is it winner gets a stadium?
Yeah, I guess
it won one too.
Yeah,
because
what's his name?
Lewicki.
Jack Murphy.
Former Blitzer. Trying to get the stadium.
Yeah.
For OregonSports.com, I'm Carlos Valeda, signing off as host of Sports in Oregon for the last time. Thank you very much to Cliff Danger Fenning for making all this possible, for getting the podcast started. I'm going to tell you, I was actually at East Bank earlier today. So we've really come full circle. East Bank's the place, if you guys are listening long enough, where Cliff and I did the first couple of podcasts. Here is where we've done the last year and a half. I think we were trying to do the math on it. Year and 3/4.
Yeah.
At Blitz and the Pearl. Thank you to Blitz and the Pearl for hosting us for this past year and change. Thank you to Derek for coming on pretty much weekly. for the past year and a half and contributing, and for letting me come on Portland Mountain Sports, and for having the good times and sharing some Simpsons laughs.
Best podcast we've ever done.
Probably, yeah. And thanks to listeners.
Some of them were live. We did live on the web for.
We did do a couple of live on the web. Mike Staffdonovan was here, still with us. Thanks to him for coming on. Thanks to any of our guests. Thanks to the people that had to put up with me not being around Monday nights and being a pain in the ass on Monday nights because I was down here putting the podcast up and having to make the phone calls and stuff. And again, thanks to the listeners for paying attention and, well, maybe not paying attention, but at least downloading it and deleting it after a while and you realize you weren't going to listen to it. Check this out on iTunes. Just look up Sportsland Oregon. Check it out at OregonSports.com. More importantly, go there for all of your Oregon sports content. And am I forgetting anything? I think I got everything. I've yawned Derek to bed here, so it's time to sign off. And tune in next week, possibly, or kinks to get figured out about when and where.
TBD.
Excellent way of putting it. And go to OregonSports.com, OregonSports.com all the time.